we can get into the preaching. You guys ready to get into the Word of God today? Let's do it. I'm going to start at 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 15. I'm going to read four verses. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to preach. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 15. God is speaking when we start out here. He's speaking to Elijah. He says, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" In verse 14, he replied again, "I have zealously served the Lord, God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." In verse 15, then the Lord told him, "Go back." Everybody say, "Go back." Say it again, "Go back." "Go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram." I'm going to finish this last little thought here. "Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel Mehaloah, to replace you as my prophet." Father, we love you. We thank you for your word right now. I ask you to speak to us. Let your word breathe life. Let your word breathe fresh vision. Let your word breathe fresh revelation into our souls, God, in the very deepest part of our hearts today, in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for moving and meeting with us in this place, God. I pray that, Father, we will not just see a little, have some good thoughts, God, that we will not just see some good little nuggets to chew on. Lord, I pray that we will have an encounter with the very person of Jesus through the Holy Spirit as we look at your word together today, in Jesus' name. Why don't you just put your hand on your belly right now? Online, do it as well. Put your hand on your belly in the building. Put your hand on your stomach somewhere, because that's where your soul, your spirit resides. That's where the word of God speaks to. Repeat this after me, would you? Say this. Say, "Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear, so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen." So earlier this week, I was driving in downtown Cincinnati with Michael Taylor. We found ourselves in downtown Cincinnati, and we got back in the car to come home. And I pulled up my, sorry, Michael, I don't mean to be putting you on blast. He's like, "I don't want people knowing to hang out with that guy," but I'm sorry. I pulled out my phone to pull up Google Maps to get directions to get back home. And with a real smug attitude, Michael was like, using Google Maps to get home, huh? I was like, "Yeah, man," because I don't know about you, I get crazy confused when I start driving around downtown. I'm not familiar with it. You know, you pull in one direction and it's like a one way, but then to go home from where you ended up is you got to get on another one way. And I just don't spend enough time down there. Is anybody else? I get crazy, crazy turned around. But here's the thing, like, once I get back to the highway, once I get back to 75 north, usually, I think, I'm usually okay. Once I get to 74, I'm really usually okay, unless I'm not paying attention and I miss the seven and I stay on 275 and start going around the loop again instead of coming home, you know what I mean? Which I have done more than probably a dozen times in my life, to be honest with you. But here's the thing, once I get back to where I'm familiar, once I get back to the highway, I'm usually in pretty good shape, and I'll turn the maps off, because I don't need her telling me what to do at that point. I've got a wife to tell me what to do. No, I'm just kidding. but Michael was like using Google Maps like I was some kind of idiot. I was like, "Yeah, that's what it is, man. I don't know where I'm going." But here's the thing, I got to get back to where I'm familiar before I can be comfortable without having directions to get where I need to go, and even if that's going back home. And in this story here, Elijah, in the Old Testament, if you're not familiar with Elijah's journey here, he was the prophet of God, one of the first prophet that we see in the Old Testament. after the time of David and Saul, and this is during the time of Kings. And Elijah is a prophet of God who's speaking to the people of Israel during a time when there's wicked leadership who have led the people of Israel astray and away from God. And in the chapter before this one is the very famous chapter that many of you have probably seen in Sunday school or heard about or heard a sermon about somewhere, where Elijah has this big showdown with the prophets of Baal. And he says, hey, we're going to find out whose God is really God. It's either Jehovah or it's Baal, but it's not both. Amen, somebody? Come on, somebody. There is one God. Amen? And either Jesus is God or he is not. And we need to figure out who is. But we're here because we have understood and come to a realization that Jesus is the Lord. Amen, somebody? And so Elijah's like, hey, we're not going to have this serving two gods thing. So he says, let's do this. He says, we'll both set up two altars. You have a sacrifice, I'll have a sacrifice. Whichever God answers from heaven by fire, that's who will serve as God. And so if you guys know the story, the Bible says that the prophets of Baal began to cry out to Baal, and they said, Baal, answer us with fire. They prepared the sacrifice, this big bull on an altar, and nothing happened, right? Then the Bible says that they began to scream out louder, and they began to cut themselves even and just be involved in this demonic incantation over Baal, trying to get Baal's attention, and nothing happens. And then I love this in the Bible, because Elijah begins to make fun of them, and he's sarcastic. And I feel like if Elijah the prophet can make fun of people who are stupid and being sarcastic, he gives me permission to do it, you know? And so, because this is what Elijah says. Elijah's like, hey, maybe Baal, you can read this. He says, maybe Baal is on vacation, or maybe Baal is even in the bathroom. This is what it says in the Bible. He says, maybe Baal is in the bathroom, and you just need to be louder. So they got louder, and nothing happened. And finally, they gave up. This went on all day, nothing, and they finally gave up. Then the Bible says Elijah goes, this is Elijah's faith in God. This boldness is unbelievable. He says, hey, I want you to take 12 big, giant jars of water. He said, I want you to dump water all over the sacrifice. He says there was so much water that the water not only drenched the sacrifice, but it made a moat around the altar that they had built up. And without any big to-do, with no worship team, without not 6 days, 7 days, 21 days of fasting, the Bible says Elijah just stands up before the people and says, God, answer with fire. And boom, fire comes from heaven. The Bible says fire falls from heaven and not only ignites the sacrifice, but instantly licks up all of the water and dries it all out. And a great revival was wrought that day. And the people of Israel recommitted themselves to Jehovah God. But after this great victory, Ahab's wife Jezebel becomes angry with Ahab and basically puts a hit out on him and says, hey, we need to kill Elijah. And so Elijah, after this great victory, runs away into the wilderness, fleeing for his life. And this is where we read this story, where he has this encounter with God in the desert. He's discouraged. He feels defeated, even though he should be happy. He should be feeling good, okay? And I've shared all that to say this. He has this moment with God when he's feeling sorry for himself, right? And God says this. He says, I want you, Elijah, to go back the way that you came. Everybody say, go back the way you came. And not only did he say, go back the way you came, he says, go back the way you came to Damascus. And I think it's really interesting that in the Old Testament, God puts this specific place to go. He says, go to Damascus. Because Damascus, if you look at the Damascus history through the Bible's history, you find out that Damascus is a place of foundation building. Damascus is the place, is roughly the place where Abraham, the father of the Old Testament, the father of the Jewish faith, the father of the Israelite nation, that's the place where Abraham founded what came to be the city of Damascus in the land of his father Uz. And it's there where God spoke to him, Abraham, leave your father's land and people and go to a place I will show you so I can make you a father of many nations. But it was a foundational place. In the New Testament even, when Paul gets saved, after Saul has his conversion and has his name changed to Paul, the Bible says that before Saul ever preached a sermon, Saul who is now Paul, spent 3 years in the wilderness of Damascus learning Jesus. What Cody was talking about in that song this morning, building a relationship with Jesus, building his foundation in Christ before he's ever sent out to ministry. And I think it's real powerful here that God says, go back the way you came and go to Damascus. And what I think God was saying is this, because you'll see that we read, he says, you're going to go back the way you came, go to Damascus. And then he told him to do three things. He said, go anoint Hazael king, go anoint Jehu king, and go anoint Elijah to take your place. So God had a new assignment for him, but before Elijah could step into the new assignment God has for his life, God first said, I want you to go back to a place of foundation. Go back to where it started. Go back the way you came. And I've said all of that to say this. I want you to hear me now. Don't miss this. Sometimes before I can move forward, I've got to go back to the foundation. Amen? Sometimes before I can move on to the next thing that God has in my life, I need to first go back to a place of foundation and remind myself and remember and recall how this whole thing started in my life, me serving Jesus anyway, amen? Sometimes I need to go back, and this isn't just about our spiritual walk. This has real life practical applications. Listen, sometimes in a relationship, in a marriage relationship especially, if it's struggling and you're gonna choke each other out and you're ready to throw in the towel and give up, sometimes before you can move forward to the next thing, you need to go back and just remember why you fell in love with that person to begin with. Go back the way you came. Go back to a place of the foundation. Remember where this thing started. Amen, somebody? Sometimes before you quit and give up on a job, remember why you got involved in that company to begin with. Remember when you first got the job, how pleased you were and how excited you were and how you felt like it was God's plan. Sometimes before I can move forward, I've got to go back the way I came. Amen, somebody? And so today, I want to take just a minute. We're going to go back in time. We're going to go back in time because it's almost 10 years ago to the moment, probably within a week or two, of when I first recorded the vision for where God had started and where we started for Red Life Church. And so if we can, as we begin Vision Month, we talk about what God has for us now, what God has called us to do, and where God is calling us to go in this next season. I want to go back the way we came.
Hey, I'm Pastor Justin Bradley, and I'm here just real quickly. I appreciate you clicking on the link or video or however you came across this, wherever you're at today. And I just want to share with you something real quickly that's really passionate to me, really exciting to me, and that is the birth of a brand new church right here in Brookville, Indiana, called Redemption Life, or Red Life for short, as we've come to call it. Right here behind me is the town of Brookville. It's a small town that I grew up in, a town that, quite frankly, in high school, as a high school student, I couldn't stand living here. I thought this town's too small for me. I've got a lot of better things to do, and I told my parents when I left here that I'll never live here again. When I was 16 years old, God miraculously saved my life, and I rededicated my life to Him after years of running and partying and just doing my own thing, running away from the way that I've been raised and from the things that I've been taught as a kid. And so I surrendered to God's call, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go into ministry. God's called me to preach, and I know that, and I pursued that. And so after 11 years of full-time ministry, about 9 years in full-time youth ministry, and almost 3 years of pastoring a church on the other side of this state here in Indiana, the Lord began really seriously to deal with me and my family about moving back here to Brookville, Indiana to start a church. I was actually running on a treadmill in Brazil, Indiana at the YMCA, and the name Redemption Life, God just dropped it right in my heart, right in my spirit, and I thought, man, that's crazy. That sounds like a really cool name for a church. God, that'd be awesome. Where do you want me to go? You want me to go to Chicago? You want me to go to New York? You want me to go to Indianapolis, some big city somewhere, because that's where I feel like I should be. And the Lord really began to deal with me about Brookville, and we were driving up to either Thanksgiving or Christmas of last year, 2011. We were driving up Main Street, coming into town to visit our family for the holiday. And I looked over at my wife and I said, what if we moved back to Brookfield and started this church? She said, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? You never wanted to live here. I said, well, honey, I don't know. God's just stirring something up in me. I don't know if I can shake it. So after a few months of just having Brookville in my heart, not being able to shake it or forget about it or rebuke it or anything else, I said, I'm just going to go over there and spend a couple days in prayer, fasting, seeking the Lord. And I came right here to this very spot. I'm on top of the Brookville Dam, right here at the Brookville Lake, overlooking our town here. I came right here to this spot. I began to seek the Lord and begin to pray, begin to ask Him about what He would have me to do with all these things I was feeling. And not like I had a vision or an open vision where the sky peeled back, but just in my heart and in my mind, the Lord took me back to 15 and 16 years ago. All of a sudden, the Lord, and I had literally forgotten about all of these things that I'm about to share with you, but the Lord reminded me how right behind me at this high school, at the flagpole of that high school, is where I preached my first sermon. When the Lord, I felt the Lord lead me to get together, a seat at the pole rally, preached my very first sermon right here. The Lord reminded me all of a sudden, I could see in my mind something I'd forgotten about for years, all the time I had spent in prayer over Brookville. The Lord reminded me of all the times I used to go as a teenager and skip lunch and fast lunch and go up to the gymnasium and pray and seek the Lord. And as I was praying, you know what? I was praying over Brookville. I was praying, God, move in Brookville. Do something significant in Brookville. Save souls here in Franklin County. I remembered all the moments and all the days that I've spent hours literally in prayer, walking around the city, walking around my school, walking around some of the streets here in Brookville, Indiana, praying. And the Lord took me back to 15 years ago and reminded me of all of the time and all of the hours I had spent in Brookville praying for God to move in Brookville, Indiana. You may think I'm crazy, but tell me, I'd forgotten all about these things, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit was flooding all these memories back. And I'm not a very super spiritual person, and if you know me at all, you know I'm not someone that has visions and sees dreams and hears God speak in every little thing. But I will tell you this, God spoke to me so very clearly standing right here in this spot, and this is what He said. He said, son, I had you sowing seeds way back then that I want to bring a harvest to now. And that's led us to this moment. We're planting and birthing and starting this brand new work called Redemption Life, or Red Life Church, right here in Brookville, Indiana.
Some of you have heard that story before. Some of you haven't. That was 10 years ago. I would give anything to be able to fit into that shirt again. Now, it's been 10 years, guys. In those 10 years, as a church, we've had some ups and downs. Some of you guys have been around for a really good chunk of that. I look around the room, I see some of you guys have been here since for almost that whole time. Some of you guys are new to it. You don't remember some of the places we've come from. And some of you don't remember when we were setting up every single week over on John Street. In the gymnasium. Some of you do. A lot of you do. But here's what I want to share. Here's where I want to take us. It's been 10 years. We've seen ups and downs. We've seen full buildings. We've seen some not so full buildings. Amen, somebody? We've been through people leaving, people coming, people going. We went through 2 to 3 years where we're, which is what we're still on the tail end of and really still recovering from a worldwide global pandemic that nobody is ever prepared to handle something like that. And during that time, we've dealt with all sorts of political just nastiness and just strife and people stressed out. And Elijah, when he's in this moment, he's running into the desert, and God asks him in this conversation that we read. He says, Elijah, how did you get here? And I don't know what happened. Sorry, I'm going to fix this real quick. He says, Elijah, how did you get here? And Elijah says, I'm the last one left, and I'm ready to quit, and I'm ready to give up. Elijah's been doing it for a long time, probably longer than 10 years maybe. And he's tired, and he's exhausted, and he's ready to quit. Elijah is ready to give up and throw in the towel. And you might be feeling like that, maybe not about church, maybe about church, maybe about some other things in your life, maybe just like, hey, I'm ready to, man, I've believed for a long time for this thing, I've thought this thing, and I'm ready to. Here's what I think is so powerful. At the moment when Elijah is ready to resign, God comes along and instead reassigns. Amen, somebody? Elijah says, I'm ready to give up. God says, no, you're not ready to give up. You just need to go back the way you came, go back to a place of foundation, and then here's some fresh calling. Here's a fresh assignment for your life that I have for you. I want you to go do this. I want you to go do this. I want you to go do this. But before you get to the next thing, you've got to go back and go back the way you came and get the foundation straightened out and remember why where you came from and where this thing started to begin with. And I just really feel like I need to speak this over somebody's life. I don't know who needs to hear this today. I don't know who needs to receive this from, but you need to listen to me. Listen to me close. You might be ready to quit, throw in the towel on your job, on your marriage, on your faith, on your walk with God, or something else you've been believing for, or whatever else. And I got news for you today. Listen to me close. God is not accepting your resignation today. God is giving you a reassignment today. Amen, somebody? It is not your resigning season. It is your reassigning season in Jesus' name. And someone needs to receive that. Someone at home needs to receive that today. God is not letting you quit. God has a fresh thing, a fresh assignment, and a fresh call for your life if you'll not give up. Amen, somebody? God is not ready to accept resignations. He's ready to hand out reassignments in Jesus' name. Amen? How many received that this morning? Now I want to say two things to us as a family, and I'm talking to Red Light Church. I want to say two things to us as clearly as I could possibly say it. After 10 years, ups and downs, this and that, pandemic, whatever. After 10 years, listen, we are still here, number one, and we still are on mission. We're still here, and we still have a mission to accomplish. Amen, somebody? We are still here. We have not given up. We are not resigning. No matter what the pain, no matter what the hurt, no matter what the disappointment, no matter what the discouragements, we are still here. And because we're still here, we still have a job to do. We still have a mission. Amen, somebody? And I want to remind us what that mission is in the next, I want to take 10 minutes and remind us what that mission is. It is very simple. It is summed up in one word, the word red. Everyone say red. Amen. Our job is red, reaching, encouraging, and discipling. Amen, somebody? That is our mission. That is what we are here to do. I'm going to break down each one of those things quickly, and then I'm going to talk about some specific things that we're going to pray. Reaching. We are here, number one, to reach the unchurched and the de-churched with the love and the message of Jesus Christ. Amen. What are unchurched? Unchurched people are people who didn't grow up in church, have never been to church, do not know the Bible stories, do not have a Sunday school background. So they come in here and they're not used to any sort of religious setting at all. We live in a time right now, even the numbers carry out still even through Brookville, where about 40 to 50% of our population are unchurched. They have no religious affiliation or background almost whatsoever. That means that we could start a new Red Life Church every year for the next 10 years and still probably not reach our entire county for the Lord. Amen, somebody? That's the numbers that are there, okay? Not only are there a lot of unchurched people who have no, we have a huge number, and I think in this community especially, of de-churched people, which are those that were brought up in church, know Sunday school stories, know some of the songs, have an idea of who God is and who Jesus is, but for whatever reason, have let their faith slip and have decided church isn't for them. Some people, the real fancy terminology for this are people that are, they call it deconstructing now, and I'll dig into some of that on another time, but this is just people who basically walked away from church. Some of them have walked away from faith. Not all of them have walked away from faith altogether, but are not committed to a community of faith and understanding that church is a part of walking with Jesus. Amen? Guess what? That's who we're called to reach. I want to say it this way. We are here, listen to me, we are here for people who are not. We gather together to become a force to allow us to reach people that aren't. Amen, somebody? Okay, so that's what we're here to do, to reach the unchurched and the de-churched. Now, we didn't just make this up. That's not just something we came up with. That comes right from the Bible. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus' last assignment to his disciples, to his church, was to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the one that told us to be a force that reaches. Amen, somebody? Reach. Everybody say reach. We want to encourage. Now, I'm going to talk about this pretty hardcore next week. But part of our mission is to encourage, to reach and to encourage. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, brethren, encourage one another in the Lord. Amen, somebody? The word encourage simply means to inspire with courage, okay? We live in a time I used to say this all the time, I haven't said it in a while, but man, you never know the person you're sitting next to, so you have no idea what it took for them to get up and make it to this building this morning or get to this online broadcast this morning. You have no idea the devils and the demons and some of the things that they had to face just to get out of bed, get their clothes on, and make it to a place of worship today. You have no idea. We have no idea sometimes the people sitting around us, what they might be going home to and what they might be struggling with. You don't know about the doctor's report they got this week. You don't know about the phone call they got from a family member this week. You don't know about the crazy relationship they're in and how they're trying to figure that out and navigate. We don't know what people are going through, man. And now, more than ever, we have got to be a force of encouragement. Amen? I believe that the presence of God, the word of God, a relationship with Jesus, that is supposed to encourage my life. That is supposed to build me up. Amen? And the Bible tells us and instructs us to do that. So we are here to reach, encourage, and then the third part of that word read is disciple. Everyone say disciple. Now, disciple is just a fancy church word, and it simply means this. It means make yourself look like Jesus. Become a follower of Jesus. Okay? Let me break that even down more. What it really means is to take your next step with Jesus. Amen? It's not enough for us just to reach people and get people in the door, and it's not enough just to even make them feel better. That's we want to reach people. We want you to feel better. We want you to know that God has a better plan for your life than the devil does. God has a better plan for your life than you do. God has a better plan for your life than what your past has told you. God has something better for you. We want you to feel good about that, but it can't stop there. If it stops there, then we become a shallow organization with no depth. And when the winds come and when the downs come, everybody wants to come and feel good when the building's full, but when nobody's here and we say, hey, we got to just make something happen, that's when we find out who the disciples are. Come on, somebody. When it's convenient to come, we come. The disciples show up when it's inconvenient. Amen? And disciples are as committed to the mission when it doesn't make any sense to be committed to the mission as they were when it all looks like it makes sense. And so we are called them, and again, we're not making that up. That's what Jesus said, do. Go into all the world, reach, and did he say go into all the world and create church attenders? Did he say go into all the world and win people to the Red Life mission, vision, and core values? Did he say, go into all the world and win everybody to Justin Bradley? No, thank God. Go into all the world, reach, and make disciples. Okay? So a disciple simply means this. A disciple is someone who's ready to take their next step. And I don't care whether you've been saved for one day or whether you've been saved for 100 years. You have a next step. I have a next step. There is always a next step of faith as long as I am on this earth until I get to heaven, then I can rest. Amen? But as long as we're here, I have a next step to take. Now for you, your next step might be trusting God with your finances. Your next step might be lifting your hands in worship. Your next step might be connecting with our online Facebook group and dialoguing. Your next step might be starting to read the Bible. Your next step might be serving somewhere. I don't know what, but we want to help you find your next step. We want to help encourage you, all of us together, to take whatever our next step is. Amen? Reaching, encouraging, and discipling, okay? Now, here's what we're going to be talking about, what we're going to be doing over the next 2 months. You all said amen to all that stuff, right? I heard a pretty good amen. Did I imagine that? Everybody seemed to be really on board when we talk about, oh, that's a great vision, that's a great mission. Okay, well, now you get to do something about it other than sit there and say amen and smile. Because smiles ain't winning the world for Jesus. Oh, I thought the amens would get, but thank you for the one. I appreciate it. Over the next few weeks, you're going to hear about how we can get involved and really be a part, not just amen the mission, but be a part of the mission. Amen? Okay? That's weird that I told you to say amen after I just kind of chastised us for it. Here's what we're going to do. October 2nd. Everybody say October 2nd. October 2nd, just because I don't have a better word for it. Oh, this isn't the word we're going to use on the information to the outside world. This is just what we're calling it here. October 2nd is going to be our relaunch Sunday or reintroduction Sunday. And we're going to make every effort that we can to relaunch and reintroduce Red Life Church to Brookville, Franklin County, and beyond on that day. And we are all going to be a part of it in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody? See, I told you guys last week, you're here at the right time. You said, man, well, hey, I don't remember that video. I wasn't there 10 years ago. I didn't show up. I didn't show up to the interest meeting that we had in Tia's coffee shop right over there where the butcher shop is now. And we weren't there. I don't remember all. I only know this building. This is the only Red Life I know. And that's great. That's fine. You weren't there for that thing, but you're here for the next thing. Amen, somebody? You're here for the next thing. I'm here for the next thing. And so we are circling October 2nd as a day where over the next 2 months, we are gonna get back involved in teams. We are going to encourage us to serve. We're going to have some training. We're going to have some prayer. We're going to have some days where we go out in the community and just invite people. And we are going to say, hello, Red Life Church is still here. Jesus still loves you. And we still want to see God's best for you. Amen, somebody? Okay. That's October 6th. So I want you to mark your calendar. I want you to pray with me. You might say, well, why does any of this matter? Who cares? I'm here. Isn't that the best thing that's important? We're here. I mean, isn't that really? Listen, here's why it matters. Listen to me close, and I'm going to end with this. Listen. It matters because there are still people in our community who need reached with the love of Jesus. It matters because there are still people who are struggling with addiction in dark corners of our county that think there's no hope and think that there's no way to get out. There are people that are still bound by abuse and shame and guilt who think there's no hope and think there's no way out and they don't have any idea who to turn to. Listen, it matters because there are still people in Brookville and Franklin County and beyond that are dying and going to hell unless Jesus shows himself to them, and he wants to do that through you and me. Amen, somebody? Listen to me close. Listen. Don't miss this. As long as people need to be reached, the church will need to be on mission. Amen. And when I say the church, I don't mean this building that we come to, because it's not the church. I mean the church that is the sons and daughters of God. That is you and that is me. There is no one else showing up in this community. There is no one else showing up in this house. It is you and it is me. It is our job. It is our responsibility. We are the church that Jesus has established and sent right here to reach people for Jesus, and we've got to do it. As long as there are people that need to be reached, the church will need to be on mission. Amen. And that's you and me. Amen? Well, the band, come back up here. I told you I was ending on this. I'm almost done. So we're in two camps. We're in two camps right now. If you're listening in this building, if you're online, listen, you're in one of two places. This is 100% of us. You're in one of these two camps. Either one, you need to receive redemption for your soul right now. You need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Or two, we need to recommit to the mission that Jesus has put us on in this house. It's one of those two. It can't be in between. I'm going to say this is bolded and planted. There's no in between here. There's no in between. If you've received redemption, then you're a part of the other thing. That's it. That you can choose not to be part of it, and you're going to miss out. But you're one of those two. We stand all over this place this morning. We're going to pray over both of those categories. If you're in here today, if you're watching somewhere today, maybe you're not even watching. Maybe it's just in the background. Maybe your husband or wife or something's playing is worshiping, and it's their time, and it's in the background for you, but you can hear it, but all of a sudden your ears are perking up. That's a really good indicator that the Holy Spirit is working through this camera and working through this technology right now to speak to your heart. If you're in this place right now, you're getting nervous, you're getting sweaty, starting to think, oh, what's going to happen? That's probably a good indication that maybe the Holy Spirit's talking to you right now. I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you. I'm not even going to call you down front. I am in just about 3.5 minutes. I'm going to invite you to raise your hand if you want to say yes to Jesus. But I want to take just a minute to say this as plainly as possible. If you're in this place today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have never received redemption. You have never received what he did for you on the cross 2,000 years ago. Maybe you have received it. Maybe you've said some prayer. Maybe you've said some words at some point, but it didn't matter to you. It was just a religious exercise. Or maybe it did mean something, but you've walked away from that. And the bottom line is this: you're not serving God right now. Today in this place, you are not serving Jesus. He is not the Lord of your life. Today, you can make him the Lord of your life. And listen, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how far you think you've run. I don't care how far away from him you think you are. I don't care how many times you've screwed up. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. All that matters is that you say yes to Jesus right now. Listen, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ gave his life on an ugly, painful cross. And the Bible says that he did it for you and for me, and invites you now to receive what he did. Now, I don't want to lie to you. Saying yes to Jesus and raising your hand in this moment, it's not going to make all your problems disappear. If you left a sink full of dirty dishes at home to come here, you're still going to have a sink full of dirty dishes when you get home. I promise you. And if for some miracle that happened, please let me know. I would love to know about that miracle. But what you will have is a peace and a comfort in your soul, knowing that you have someone walking with you who loves you at your worst and has planned for you the best. Woo, isn't that good news? Jesus loves you at your worst and plans for you his best. And you can receive that by saying yes to Jesus today. You say, man, I still got questions. I got questions too. There's a video on our website that you can go to today. I'm not going to go through that whole thing this morning. You got questions, we got it in-depth. It's about 8 minutes long to really answer some common questions. But here's the thing. I got questions too. Listen, in a couple of hours, because we're going to hang out, we got food here today, we're going to throw some axes and play some cornhole. We got a party happening after this thing. In a couple of hours when I go home today, I'm going to hop in my truck, I'm going to turn the key, and I'm going to drive home. I don't really know how that works. I don't know. I don't know how an engine, I mean, I know it's gas, and like, but I don't know really how an engine works. I couldn't explain it to you. But it's not going to stop me from driving home. What I'm saying is I don't have to know all the ins and outs of it for it to be effective for my life. And faith in Christ is the same thing. You don't have to wait to have all your questions answered before you say yes. All you need to know is, man, I feel in my heart. I feel something in the pit of my stomach that says I need this right now. And if that's where you are, listen, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Forget about the person you came with. Forget about who's around you. Please don't miss this moment. Please don't miss this moment to accept Jesus Christ because you care about anybody around you. This is a personal decision. Listen, your grandfather can't make it for you. Your aunt can't make it for you. Your mom can't make it for you. Your husband or wife can't make it for you. You have to make this decision to say yes to Jesus yourself. And I'm going to invite you to do that right now. I'm not going to call you down front. I am going to ask you to raise your hand. If you're in this place, say, man, I need to receive redemption. I need to receive Jesus. I need to give my life to Him. I need to make him the Lord of my life today. If that's where you are, will you just right now raise your hand all over this room? If you're online, you can put a raised hand emoji in the comment section. You can say, I'm praying that prayer. Amen. Amen. I see some hands up today. Let's pray. I want everybody in this room, and if you're at home watching, pray with me out loud. Say this with me. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, and you rose from the dead. And you did it all just for me. So I ask you right now, forgive me of my sins. Come and live on the inside of me. Be the king of my life, of my past, of my future, and of my present. In Jesus' name, thank you for forgiving me. My life is yours. Amen. Amen. Can we rejoice right now, church, with those that pray that? Maybe online, we don't even know about it yet, but in this building, hands went up. And we say, welcome to the family of God. Welcome, whether it's a return or whether it's the first time. Welcome to the family of God. Heaven's rejoicing with you right now. Now I'm going to pray one last prayer. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand again one more time. But I'm going to ask you to mean it. Don't do it because a bunch of people around you do it. Listen, if this is your first time here, you're like, I don't know, I'm just checking it out. I don't expect you to answer this. But if this is where God has planted you and called you to be, then this is for you. How many would say, man, hey, Pastor Justin, we're with you. We're going to recommit to the mission and relaunch this mission in Jesus' name and do what God's called us to. Amen. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Amen. 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 I'm going to ask God to help us do just that in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you give us a backbone like steel and a soft, tender heart like a marshmallow to commit to everything that you've called us to do. God, give us a backbone like steel to do it when the going gets tough. Give us a tender heart like a marshmallow, God, to know when we need to change and when you're speaking to us, Father God. God, I pray that with that kind of combination in our individual lives and in us as a whole, God, we are saying to you, God, we are declaring, God, we are making a fresh commitment to the mission that you've called us to be, to reach, encourage, and disciple. God, I pray that you bless these next few weeks. God, as we prepare, God, this isn't because I've just thought of it. I know that this is something you've put in our heart to do, Father. This is something you put in my heart, said this is what we need to do in this season. So, God, as we step out, step forward, and step in faith, Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name that we will see Proverbs 16:3 come true in this house. And, God, not only in this house and about this church, I think that we're going to see that filter into other areas of our lives, God, into our families, into our businesses, into our homes, Father, because your word declares that when we put the kingdom first, then you add all these other things to us, Lord. But God, I pray that we will see Proverbs 16:3, which declares that when we commit our plans to the Lord, you cause them to be successful. And God, as we commit to the mission, afresh and anew in our hearts, God, I thank that you make our plans successful. And Lord, I pray even right now, begin to speak to each and every one of us individually about how you're calling us to reach and encourage and disciple. In Jesus' name. If you can, I know you had your hand up for a minute, but if you can, stretch your hands this way and receive this blessing from the Lord right now. I'm going to pray. They're going to sing for just another moment. We're going to be dismissed. And then, guys, we have food. We have games. Please don't just take off. Hang out, fellowship, make a friend. Tables are set up inside, outside. There's some water balloon stuff for kids or grown-ups. Whoever wants to get involved is fine. So, man, let's have a great time today. And hang out for a little bit, man. Don't just take off, but receive this right now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And the Lord give you peace.